Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Okay, it is Dom time. You know, it's fun each day to chart what is the media narrative of the day. And they had a good day yesterday. They had the funeral to show us. My headline for the funeral, Dan, is attendance mandatory, being trampled to death optional. I've been working that one up here in the back room a little bit.
You're horrible.
No, that's exactly what happened. Attendance mandatory, being trampled to death optional. So the media is showing these vast crowds. Martha Raddatz, Skeletor, the absolute worst from ABC. I'll play her in a second. These people want revenge for the killing of Soleimani. Okay? So we'll play that. But the other issue they're still trying to settle on, and they're still trying to play the narrative. You know what the media in general is waiting for. What they're waiting for is some kind of Iranian attack, no matter how minor, no matter how ineffective, to say, aha, now how do you feel? We have our first poll out there. Now, it is a Huffington Post YouGov, so I'm taking that into account. It is a bit disappointing, and it tells me the Trump administration does have some work to do. Support is about 88% with self-identified Republicans, but with others, it's very, very low, even independents, not getting, A, why this was justified and necessary. So yesterday, after talking about this for a couple of hours, we arrived at the phrase, what Democrats are settling in on, and they're doing all sorts of spin-ups, the presidential candidates with it, that Soleimani was too big to kill. Now, we know about too big to fail. We know about companies that can't fail. We have to do anything to bail them out. Or they can do anything and seemingly operate with impunity like Nike, right? But too big to kill. All kinds of articles out there, all kinds of people in both the Bush and the Obama administration saying, yeah, we talked about taking him out. We could have done it. It's no big deal. He was all over the place. We could have killed him. But we chose not to do it. Now, think about telling that to the American people. Think about that, looking in the eyes of the 600 that were killed by this guy, American service people, and or the others waking up today with devastating assaults on their body from the IEDs that he helped to launch. Think about telling them it was too big. This guy was too big to kill. That's exactly what they're saying. That's where they've landed. Now, they put it in different terms, but the argument is, if you kill him, boy, you're really asking for it. The Iranians are really going to hit us. That's exactly what they're saying, and they're making themselves sound so nuanced and cunning. Both administrations, remnants from both. This was no big deal that Trump got him. Come on. This guy was blatantly out there. He's too big to kill. I just wish they would say it. I would pound away questioning any of these people till they actually uttered that phrase. Yeah, he's too big to kill. If you kill him, you unleash everything. You just can't kill him. You got to let him continue to operate, kill and maim Americans because he's too big to kill. All right, so here's Jay Johnson, former Homeland Security Secretary in the Obama administration. On the other front, he says, yeah, the general was clearly a lawful military objective.
Jay, before you were Homeland Security Secretary, you were counselor at the Defense Department. So explain for viewers, why does Mike Pompeo keep saying terrorist? There is a legal reason he keeps saying the word terrorist, isn't it?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
If you believe everything that our government is saying about General Soleimani, he was a lawful military objective. Mm-hmm. And the president, under his constitutional authority as commander-in-chief, had ample domestic legal authority to take him out without an additional congressional authorization. Whether he was a terrorist, mm-hmm, or a general in a military force that was engaged in armed attacks against our people, he was a lawful military objective.
All right, so it doesn't matter. You don't want to call him a terrorist? I don't care. He is a lawful. Our buddy Andy McCarthy and others today citing both President Andy McCarthy's got a great piece today that goes back to the mid-90s. You know, Andy McCarthy is the guy who tried to head off of the past, the blind cheek, who blew up the World Trade Center in 93 the first time around. And he said Democrats back then, even though they think these things are law enforcement matters, not terrorism matters, they at least got it. And they came up with ways to deal with terrorists that we don't have to wait until they hit us. So it's immaterial. Whether these attacks were imminent or not, it does not matter. It doesn't. Here's what Elizabeth Warren, though, is out there. She was on, not sure if it was Colbert last night. No, it was NBC. So it was, Fallon?
Seth Meyers.
Seth Meyers, the brilliant strategist. Elizabeth Warren is trying this tactic. And Democrats have already, the media is kind of following them. They're now trying to say, we're not going to debate because we'll probably lose on that. That Americans feel taking this guy out is fine. But now we're going to appeal to their self-interest. And we're going to say, you're not safer by taking this guy out. So are we safer that we took him out? I would argue it's pretty obvious we are. Because the guy that replaced him is not central casting. This guy and the media are the ones, their narrative. He's the genius. He's the charismatic one. It's amazing what this guy was able to accomplish. So it's like we have, I wouldn't say Carson Wentz is out and the backup quarterback's in. But it's not Nick Foles coming in. It's the other guy. So, yeah, we are safer. And maybe they don't want to be next. Maybe none of them want to be next. But here's the attempt by Elizabeth Warren with Seth Meyers last night.
You know, the first job of the president of the United States is to keep America safe. And this president has gone in exactly the opposite direction. And he started in 3 years ago when he tore up the Iran nuclear deal that Iran had agreed not to advance its nuclear program.
Ha!
Our allies wanted America to stay in it, but instead Donald Trump tore it up. And he's just had a series of escalating attacks. And now with the killing of Soleimani, we're in a place where we've stopped our actions against ISIS. We now have a president who is tweeting threats of war crimes. We've had to pull all of the Americans out of the area, all the civilians. This is not making America safer. And what it's really doing, and we really have to talk about this, this is moving us closer to the very edge of war. Americans don't want a war with Iran. And this is the moment. Americans need to speak up loudly and say, no more war in the Middle East. It's time to have peace in the Middle East. We need to get out of this.
Who is it that ran on this platform? Thank you, Elizabeth Warren, for endorsing the president of the United States. So Democrats want America to believe there's only two choices here, appeasement or war. The Trump doctrine that he's done so far, he's avoided war, and yet he's pushed back. Is that not the Trump doctrine? There's a third way here. I mean, you could say it's risky. Anything's risky. So we're supposed to let Soleimani blatantly be out there, not like the other creeps that are hiding in Tehran that you can't get at. We're supposed to allow him to be out there doing business. That makes us safer. He's too big to kill. All righty, let's go to Kevin in Center City. Kevin, you're in on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Kevin. Good morning.
Hi, Don. How are you today?
Very good.
Okay, what I'd like to ask you is, okay, are you aware that Albert Pike spoke about three planned world wars that would be purposely orchestrated at some period of time, and the third world war must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agenture of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world.
Hey, thank you, Kevin. That reception from your mom's basement is horrible. Sorry, we can't deal with it. Yes. Must be the chunky soup in your mouth that you're eating.
It might have been the tinfoil hat he was wearing that got in the
way. Well, thank you for piling on with that. So let's have a little bit of fun this morning. The Illuminati are doing it, not Trump. Woo! Here we go.
Great way to start the day for callers.
Thank you very much.
We got a great day ahead of us, I guess.
855-839-1210. You'll get a line here with Dom. All right, one more. Martha Raddatz, who for my money is the worst of the Sunday show. She's the absolute worst. They send her in Tehran. And is it just me? You know, some of you might say, oh, well, that's it. You're bringing an American eye to this. I just can't stand to see women have to cover their head when they don't want to cover their head in this whole thing. I don't. I object to it. I object to the whole thing to be an American. But I realize you got to do it. They'll kill you, I guess, there. So Raddatz is in Tehran. Talking about, and one of the worst yesterday, along with the AP, the tears being shed and the millions of people in the street. How many of those people are there, A, because they know they're going to be checked on, or B, they're fearful they might be checked on? How many of them there are just so sorrowful that this great charismatic leader, deaf to America, has been killed? You know, the Castro funeral in Cuba, that drew a tremendous crowd. Were people there because of old Fidel and how sorry they were? Or was there another angle? Apparently, people got free meals. You know, you go to a funeral, then there's a lunch. This was a lunch for the country in Iran yesterday. But Martha Raddatz can't get enough of this as she hides her head in Tehran.
I have been in the midst of anti-American protests in Iran before, but nothing like this. A powerful combination of grief and anger with shouts of death to America echoing through the streets around us. This morning, mourners filling the streets of Iran's capital of Tehran for the funeral of General Soleimani, killed by that U.S. drone strike last week. Aerial images capturing the sea of Iranians packing the streets to pay tribute to a man revered by many here.
Trump made a big mistake. He killed our hero.
Soleimani's image everywhere. The impact of his death profound. The crowds are massive and emotional. There are many tears here, many signs with Soleimani's picture on them. But the message is also very clear. These people want revenge.
Are we human or not?
As we made our way through the streets of Tehran, people surrounding us, shouting death to America.
We will have very hard revenge of Mr. Trump.
Inside the funeral service, the emotion just as powerful. The supreme leader of Iran weeping and praying over a coffin draped in the Iraqi flag. This is the largest funeral in Iran since the death of the Ayatollah Khomeini in 1989. Today, calls for jihad. Members of the Iranian parliament also chanting death to America. And a red flag symbolizing a declaration of war raised above an Iranian mosque on Saturday.
All right, then. Nice job, Martha Raddatz. Thanks for sending that back to America. Nice commentary there. Is the media narrative complete? Check that box for yesterday. Now, what do they have today? Well, today they're looking toward when does Iran strike? That's when all the guns will come blazing after Trump. There's not going to be a World War III. There's not going to be the Illuminati. It's just going to be the Trump doctrine when all is said and done. All right, a little bit later in the show today, thanks to Dan's resources, we have a great listener who's out there on some kind of campaign around a couple of things, the Winston Man, the former Winston Man. So, of course, our side question of the day is, give us that favorite mascot of yours in a TV commercial. All right, any mascot that you like. Dan, I know you want to take one off the board. I think it's a brilliant one.
Well, we got to qualify it. We're doing no food or grocery mascots.
Oh,
correct?
Okay. You've limited it to no food or grocery.
Well, I thought that was your limit that you put.
No.
No, you told me right before the show, no food mascots, Joe. But
Well, I said we did food mascots once. Okay,
yeah,
so we'll eliminate. We'll
yeah, so not non-food, no food snack or grocery mascots. What's the best mascot?
But groceries in terms of toiletries are fine.
And it's surprising. Me and Joe are like, is there any non-food mascots? There's a lot.
There are a lot.
Including a lot in insurance, believe it or not.
Oh, there are tremendous. Insurance has very, yeah, they have some of the best.
Some of the worst.
Some of the progressive, I think, are very good.
No.
As long as the Aflac duck isn't around anymore, I'm happy.
No, that's the one I like. I hate that
All right,
flow.
So Dan, who is yours?
I'm going to go with Jeffrey the Giraffe from Toys R Us.
Now, there was a little bit of a bollocksing on your part. You didn't know your stuff
I thought
stuff
it was a
there.
Zebra.
Yeah, that's right.
He's like, who's that zebra for Toys R Us?
Zebra, right.
I said, first of all, it's a giraffe. Get it right or don't say it at all. Okay. And it has a name.
Exactly.
That's because I got confused because Toys R Us used to be the center that would sell all the Fruit Stripe gums. And remember Fruit Stripe? They had that dancing zebra as their mascot.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so that's why I thought it was a zebra.
I'm going with Mr. Clean. I'll only take one off the board here.
Take the obvious.
Mr. Clean is, I don't know if he's still, I think I've seen Mr. Clean recently.
I think he's a judge on America's Got Talent.
That's Howie Mandel. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, 855-839-1210. You can get in right now. More of your calls coming up and a little bit later this hour. I went back and dug this out. When I saw this settlement against IKEA, huge amount of money. Where did the jury and judge reside that made this, that's making international news? What city in America? I'll tell you, and you may be able to guess it because that's what juries do here. And that's right. You're with Dom here in the morning, 9 until noon, 855-839-1210. And Dan, where? Oh, people yesterday inundating me on social media as it came down. Buddy of ours sent the Press of Atlantic City story that President Trump indeed is coming to Wildwood. We'll have to get the mayor on tomorrow, Ernie Triano, to get his take on this. January 28th, I think it was on Friday, a bird flew into our window at 11 o'clock and told us way back on Friday and broke that story. Harry Hurley. Yes, so the president is coming there. This is involving Van Drew, because Jersey's certainly not... Trump wants to have some fun. They could have chosen anywhere. You know, Ocean City has a venue. AC has a venue. Why Wildwood? That's what I was thinking. It's an interesting thing. How big is that venue there? Maybe it's 10,000
people. It's a big venue.
Yeah, but big for Trump. I don't think it's 20,000.
No, probably not 20,000.
I bet it's 10. No. You know, it's where
I don't even know if it's 10.
Might not even be. It's where the beach balls are. But people are going to be lined up, sleeping on the sand and all. It's going to be an interesting thing January 28th as he comes to Wildwood, New Jersey. It's probably the closest that he's been in quite a while here to us. Usually they go to Hershey, you know, because they know the center of the state. That's where their strength is. They do stuff there. Or they go to near Pittsburgh. This is the closest, though, to us. Alrighty, Jane Fonda now. When we last left, Dan was contacting Jane Fonda's guy or woman to set up a debate with Pat Toomey, since she fingered Pat Toomey as Mr. Fossil Fuel, the enemy of the climate. Here's Jane Fonda yesterday. Was she on McColbert? I'm not sure.
Yeah,
she's on McColbert. Here, if you're going to be a protester and be arrested, here is Ms. Fonda with her tips on what to do when you get arrested.
Every Friday, there's more and more people, and they come from all over. And most of them have never engaged in civil disobedience before and risk getting arrested.
How many times have you been arrested so far?
I think five.
Mm-hmm.
And
here's a shot. Here's a shot of you getting arrested. Now, for any advice for beginners on, but seriously, like if you're going to be detained, obviously not being arrested for a violent crime or anything like that, what do I need to bring? Simple things, like should I bring like a power bar or like something like
no,
that?
No, you can't bring anything like that. Everything gets taken away. So you wear layers of clothes. If it's winter and you may spend the night in jail, you want a lot of layers so you can use them for pillows and things. Mm-hmm. Other than that, all you need is a photo ID that's up to date and $50. And if you don't have $50, we give it to you. And then, you know, we don't do civil disobedience as a first effort, but we've been petitioning and writing and marching and begging the government, and they don't hear. We've used every lever of democracy, and so we have to take a step further, and that's why we're engaging in civil disobedience and risking getting arrested. And there's something that's very it changes you. I think it's you're aligning your body, your whole self, with your values, and you feel very integrated and empowered. It's beautiful.
All right, then. Yeah, just like when I wonder if Jane Fonda, I know some of you are thinking, did she have layers of clothes on when she went to North Vietnam, sat there in the gun turret, mimicking, shooting down American pilots? I wonder if Miss Fonda was wearing a scarf, or, you know, maybe Colbert could have probed a little bit more. But Colbert, on a more serious note, this will be cut 11. He got it said last night. Remember, the bottom line is this is not comedy anymore. They're not even trying to be satiric like Ricky Gervais, something like that, even if heavy duty and pointed. They're just not doing that. It's just a monologue attacking Trump. Here's Colbert last night getting it said, saying what's happening now with Iran is exactly why we were staying up nights worried about what Trump might do.
Now, there have recently been momentous world-shaking events. And let's get right to the big story everybody's talking about. The 77th annual Golden Globe Awards ceremony. Oh, it was a dazzling night of glitz and glamour. And God help us, we might be going to war with Iran. All the stars were there as we inch closer to yet another tragically ill-considered military conflict, including Salma Hayek, whose Gucci dress featured a neckline that didn't leave much to the imagination. And unless you're imagining an endless quagmire in the Middle East. Because this is it, folks. This is what's been keeping you up at night for the last 3 years. It wasn't the baggy suits. It wasn't Covfefe. It was his ability to wage war with no understanding of the consequences. And no one could stop him.
There. You got it said. That's comedy. That's the theme of the show.
I should have left it in, but at the end, he kind of pauses for applause, and there's one clap, and it's very awkward.
Yeah, but this is exactly what this has gone to. So not just even the point of view, but there's no, these guys believe there's serious commentary. Yeah, I don't know if he said too much about Ricky Gervais. Did he take a position on that? It's his business comedy. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it, Dan, to see how many of the comedians said yay or nay to what Ricky Gervais did and what he called out. And I would argue what's happening here, not just with Gervais, who was accused of being a right-wing nut. He's a very liberal guy. But what we've seen on Netflix with the Burr guy, with Chappelle, you're starting to see some comedians push back against Woke Incorporated, the cancel culture, and all these people that I think are part of Colbert's audience. You're starting to see some of them actually stand up for comedy in one way or another, whatever their agendas are. And that's a good thing, because without the ability to laugh or make people laugh, that even at the top rung, they can only do what this idiot's doing, which is attack Trump and then say he's a good Catholic, Colbert, you know, that whole shtick. That's all that's going on. All right. So phone calls 855-839-1210. Let's go to Pat in Pennington, New Jersey. Pat, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Pat, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking the call.
You're welcome.
I want to say, I want them to stop trying to micromanage our president. He's doing his job. He has been vigilant. He has been dedicated to keeping America great, as they say in Hays, Kansas, let me tell you. These people need to get out and get real jobs. These Democrats have done nothing for the country. They've been negative and hateful. They're the hate. It's got to stop.
All right, Pat, I got you. And it will. Well, it will not stop. That doesn't matter. But it's just a question of gaining more and more power. So whatever they say doesn't matter. That's what the key is. And that's what 2020 is about. Electing more people who are going to make them even angrier. That's the mission. Yesterday, do you have that cut, Dan? You put it on here. Ms. Arquette, at the end of her speech at the Golden Globes, when she talked about getting out and voting, and we're going to get out and vote, we're going to do all of this stuff. That's kind of our daily mantra to play for you so that you realize what they're proposing and I'm sure what you're thinking about.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.